Hi, with Julian on the Brown Note and a review of Neil Young's latest album, Fucking Up, which is a Neil Young and Crazy Horse album, his esteemed band that have followed him his whole career, since everybody knows this is Nowhere, back in 68, 69, his second album, which set him on a path of one of the most esteemed careers in songwriting and music. Every time I do a Neil Young review, it gets like 10 times the views of any other. I don't even like Neil Young. So Neil Young's probably had three golden eras. In fact, he, at this stage, he's almost moving into that area of someone like Alfred Hitchcock, where they often have made their best material over their entire career, and virtually no artist ever does that. Most artists are more like, say, Stanley Kubrick, where there's this initial promise, there's this golden age, and then there's this very long tapering where not much happens and it's lesser material. And that's the way for most great artists. But with Hitchcock, there was just this constant, you know, periods where even towards the 50s and 60s, he was producing some of his best material. And Neil Young, even though the modern era is a little bit different, has definitely had periods after his initial run where he has had his best material being produced. So we had that, everybody knows this is Nowhere, to Russ Never Sleeps around 1979, one of the great album runs in music history, followed by a fallow period, and then another great run, another golden era, the second one, which was Freedom, Ragged Glory, Harvest Moon, World, and the MTV Unplugged. Five albums that all were incredibly successful and showed each side of his music, from the country to the grunge. And that period didn't really die completely, but there were some questionable albums coming out. There was one after he married Daryl Hannah, which I actually switched off. It was so bad, and I can't even remember what it was. It was all eco stuff. But there's been some spotty records. But I feel like the new era, the third golden age of Neil Young, was really kicked off by the excellent Psychedelic Pill album. And this time it's been a little bit different in that it hasn't relied on studio albums per se, but we have had in the last couple of years two very good Neil Young and Crazy Horse studio albums of new material. So it's not like the new material has gone by the wayside, but what we have had is the Neil Young Archive reissue series, which has been incredibly exhaustingly prolific, but also very, very interesting at times. And the releases have fallen into multiple brackets. At the very top tier are albums that were genuine albums that were not released at the time. So I think one was Homegrown. I think there was three main ones. Chrome Waves, obviously. But there were three albums from the 70s that then got released in their entirety, which were all excellent and a fascinating addition to his discography. Then there were this sort of reimagining stuff. So I think one of his less Are You Passionate, a lot of the material from that terrible Neil Young album from around the start of the 2000s was reimagined as a Crazy Horse album with abandoned sessions for a much better impact on a recent release. And then there have been both the acoustic and the electric live shows. And I think someone coined it very well by saying, you know, there's the essential, there's the middle of the road stuff, and then there's the only for completist stuff. So where does Fucking Up, which is a live recording of Ragged Glory, made recently with Crazy Horse, where does that fit into this paradigm? It's probably leaning towards completists more than other areas. So Ragged Glory came on with one of the great 1-2 comebacks in music history after a decade of appalling music. Neil Young famously being sued by David Geffen for not making Neil Young music, which some wit at the time said the most Neil Young thing he could have done is not make Neil Young music. And then he came back with two of his best ever albums, the all-encompassing global Triumph of Freedom and the very pared back grunge Crazy Horse album Ragged Glory, which in retrospect is probably the definitive Crazy Horse album. As most Crazy Horse Neil Young albums have acoustic interludes or different styles of music, and this didn't. This just went hard charging. And with that and the double live album, World, that came out, it was an era of grunge feedback. And he was nicknamed the godfather of grunge, of course, at the time. So this is an unusual setup in that it's Neil Young and Crazy Horse playing a gig for a billionaire's birthday party in an esteemed, very small Canadian rock venue. And obviously with someone that has lambasted capitalism and corporatism, to be playing a billionaire's birthday party seems very strange on the surface. Obviously, it's not something that he does often, and he's so cantankerous he may well have had reasons to do this. And maybe it was to, you know, use this very esteemed Canadian venue, which has hosted innumerable greats over the years on their way up the ladder of success. He certainly is not going to be starting taking paychecks to play billionaires' birthday parties, so it's a very odd paradigm. But what they do is they play 1990s Ragged Glory in its entirety, barring the more sort of elegiac, unsuitable perhaps for live performances, final track Mother Earth. They play the album in its entirety, and as an artistic premise, it's kind of interesting because the only real goal here is, what of the last 30 years? How have they changed the record? How have they changed the people playing the music? It's not exactly the same lineup. One of the original Crazy Horse members hasn't really played with the band. San Pedro hasn't played with the band for over a decade, I don't think. So it's Neil Young, Ralph Molina, Billy Talbot, longtime Crazy Horse, and Nils Lofgren, who's now in Crazy Horse, but has played with Neil Young, I think, all the way back to after the Gold Rush. Outside of the Crazy Horse records. And also Mika Nelson on guitar, piano, backing vocals is, I think, from the Promise of the Real band, who have been the most prominent backing band that Neil Young has had since Crazy Horse. And it's interesting to note that out of the live stuff that's happened over the last couple of years in this archive session, the Promise of the Real album, Noise and Flowers, where they have the set list of greatest hits from Neil Young, which he never plays, was amazing, absolutely amazing. And the other one which showed great artistic reason to exist was when he played Tonight's the Night era music, and from like 1973, instead of being as dark and angry as that album often comes across, gave the songs a whole new light. So that was fascinating. So what does this version of Ragged Glory, played almost in its entirety, bring to the table? So we get City Life. So every track's named differently to the ones on the album. So on the album, Country Road becomes, on this album, City Life. The drunken intro is probably my favourite part. They just fall into the song. If there's a difference between the original, I think it's a more wistful and romantic take. I think a lot of these songs, they breathe more than the original Ragged Glory take, and they're a little less tightly wound and a little bit more romantic. The vocals are very wayward on some of the opening tracks and actually really strong on some of the later ones. And the guitar work feels more intricate. It's interesting that Young's guitar work has not faded at all. It is, if anything, it's better. And that's the high point of the album, is hearing the band chugging along and Young sort of friddling along in his very underappreciated, almost at times, I said on a review of the Chrome Waves album about Like a Hurricane from that album, how his guitar playing is more like John Coltrane. It's more like free jazz. He bunches up notes, he goes all over the shop, avoiding melodies often, but he sounds like a John Coltrane, and I don't think he gets enough credit. White Line, that track, which is called here, Feels Like a Railroad, has also got a better version, which I think came out on the Homegrown album, which is just beautiful, and that's a lilting country take. I don't think it suits the pub band vibe here as much. I think after I've heard that re-released version from the original sessions, being, I thought, superior and more suitable to the song in tone than the one that appeared on Ragged Glory, hearing an even more Ragged Glory version of it isn't as entertaining. But the third track, Fucking Up, which is the title track, does suit this environment. This is the first time I think that this is the definitive version of that track, the title track of this album, but it wasn't on the first one. It's a dark heart song for him, and it really does suit this messy, slapdash environment. The problem with this album is that when you've got such Crazy Horse versions on Ragged Glory, and then only like within a year or two, you've got the live versions, which are very close to the album version. And Neil Young's albums, studio albums, a lot like Nina Simone or people like that, are often just live versions anyway. So there's often not much gap between the studio version and the, like, all of the music on Rust Never Sleeps is pretty much live performances. So then you've got the live Rust album, which is essentially the same thing. And that's a bit like that on the World album. So that's where this album sort of struggles a little bit. But I found what's called here Heart of Steel, one of his grimiest tracks, great breakdowns, has, and some, like, there's a the really good pounding of drums and bass on this as a metronome in the background. This is the one that, first one that's really got a strong reason to exist. I think it's the best version of that song. Track four, Kill Broken Circle, here, over and over. It's one that troubles me, as it's in my probably top three all-time Neil Young songs. The version from Ragged Glory is just so inspiring and uplifting. 8 minutes of just this gorgeous lead guitar lines and driving music. It sounds like the end titles on a triumphant movie. It's just one of my favourite songs of all time. I'm not sure on the point of it here. It sounds great. Does it sound like it has a reason to exist over the original? Not especially. It is often really exciting to hear these people. Have I been talking for 12 minutes already? I've only got halfway through the bloody album. For Christ's sake. Yeah, again, it's exciting hearing these people 30 years on. That's where the collector side of it comes in. It's like, is that a reason enough? I think it's at its best when it's reinventing the guitar passages, as I feel like Neil Young's, you know, it's like a late period Picasso. He's becoming more and more abstract in the notes he finds. It's fascinating to listen to. And the same on that track, Valley of Hearts, which is Love to Burn, I think. A great track, one of two massive long-form tracks on that album, that are sort of it, that Love and Only Love and Love to Burn, which occupy a similar space. I think this is a superior version, slightly, to the album version. One thing they could have done a lot more on this album is got Nils Lofgren's honky-tonk piano. It immediately lifts Farmer John, which I thought, you know, it's a cover version, but it was probably the worst track on Ragged Glory. But it's just a goofy song. But it's lifted with the piano. It's, I don't know why they didn't use that more. It's a massive improvement. And the vocals are great by this stage on the album. Young's have got some really powerhouse vocals. So it was very wafty on Country House at the start. There's another piano boost on Walking in My Place. And that's possibly a superior version. It's a bit more alert and upright and driving. What's that one called in real life? I can't remember. But I thought that was a superior take slightly. And this is the point where I think the album has justification, because we've probably got about three or four so far that are superior to the Ragged Glory album. Same with Follow One's Own Dream. Yeah, Follow One's Own Dream. Great throbbing bass, in the pocket groove, fabulous guitar passage, and a wider range in the tonality. Rather than sort of driving through the same sort of groove all the way through at the same tempo with the same amount of attack on the instruments. The live setting here allows them to sort of fade into like really breathing, which I thought, again, it was possibly a better one. And that was A Chance on Love. So that is Love and Only Love, goes on for 15 minutes. Again, potentially superior to the Ragged Glory album. So there you go. Half the tracks are probably slightly superior to the Ragged Glory ones. Half of them are not. Its reason for existing is you're a Neil Young fan and you would like to hear them 30 years later playing a full-blown version of Ragged Glory. If they came to town and they said, we're going to play Ragged Glory, you're going to that concert, I'm going to that concert. So this is the equivalent of doing so. Outside of that, it's not got a completely defined reason to be. Few of the tracks, my favourite over and over, were better on the album. Country Home was probably better on the album. But again, there's such a narrow band between the Ragged Glory studio album, the World live album, W-E-L-D, and this live album, that it really comes down to just hearing them 30 years on playing the music. But it's still often compelling, and I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10 for Fucking Up by Neil Young and Crazy Horse.